2003. We're hoping to get an interview with Tom Noddy, the lemon juggler arrested two days ago on Thursday. Give us a listen, and maybe he'll give us a call. Stay with us.
The homeless, a problem for only one reason. That president raises a question, who owns a land? The homeless, a problem for only one reason. Our president raises a question, who owns a land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To all imperialism? Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native American. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me who owns the land? 'Cause I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? Owns its own self. Maybe it's the Native America. The homeless are a problem for only one reason. My president raises a question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Your presence raises a question, who owns the land? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is
home?
Where is home? Well, hopefully you're in one right now, but if you're not, or if you have been in that situation before where you don't have a home, then you know kind of what this show is all about. The show is concerned with the rights of people outside, and also people who are concerned with the maintenance of civil liberties generally in Santa Cruz at a local level. I'm Robert Norris. I'm going to be with you for the next 3.5 hours, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You can also be listening to us at www.freakradio.org. You might want to write that down in case you leave the area and you've got a favorite show you want to listen to. www.freakradio.org. And you can call us locally or long distance on the call-in line here at 831-427-3772. Again, 831-427-3772. You want to leave a message off air for the studio, for the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective. Perhaps you have a public service announcement. Perhaps you're interested in being a part of the station. Perhaps you want to contribute something. Or perhaps you just have a question. You can do that on our voicemail, 831-427-4523. Again, 831-427-4523. To reach me, Robert North, or Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, on issues that you hear about on this show, or possibly that you'd like to see raised on this show, but are not here at the moment, you can call the Huff line. Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is a civil rights organization that meets every week at Baker Square Restaurant on 1107 Ocean. That's on Ocean Street, somewhere between Denny's and the County Building, if you're a local. It's Baker Square Restaurant, 8:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, and we welcome you. Come on down. If you haven't got money for coffee, we'll provide it. If you got issues you want to raise, you can call the Huff line, or you can come to the meeting, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. There are also periodic announcements and updates on that line. It's kind of been falling behind in the last month or two, but it was recently upgraded, so you can catch more recent information that might be helpful for you, where to call a city council member if you want to spend your time doing that. And while I don't encourage people to spend a lot of time, it's good to keep the city council aware that their transgressions are not going unnoticed. I wish I could say that their virtues are not going unrewarded, but unfortunately, it's really hard to find any virtues around the city council with respect to how they're treating poor and homeless people these days, and indeed how they're dealing with the whole downtown issue, which is going to be kind of a major focus of this show. Last show, as you may remember, we left Tom Noddy in jail. That's the lemon-juggling, bubble-blowing local who's actually a world-famous international performer. He's been on Johnny Carson. Yes, he has. When Johnny Carson was on the air. He's spends about half of his time in Germany. He's going off soon to the, I guess it's the Oregon Country Fair. I'm not quite sure what the exact name of that is, but that's up in Oregon. But before he left, he took out his lemons and his rubber balls and his juggling bowling pins, and he went down onto Pacific Avenue to do some juggling. And why did he do that? Because Tom is usually make his living as a juggler. Well, he became concerned about the destruction of the voluntary street performers guidelines and more the repressive impact of the downtown ordinances. And finally, the failure of the city council to respond to his concerns, and specifically, as I think he's described on the air, I believe he's talked about this issue, when the ordinances that were rushed through last summer at the behest of merchant groups over the opposition of most people who came to the council meetings and presented testimony there, the ordinances included a rather bizarrely formulated code section change designed to eliminate the evil hacky sackers and frisbee throwers and folks like that. Specifically, the ordinance section read, in addition to barring people from sitting or soliciting within 14 feet of a building, which rules out about 95% of the space on the downtown sidewalks up and down, and actually 100% of the space on most other sidewalks that are only about 10 feet wide if they're in other parts of the city, in any areas adjacent to a building, they included this section, among other rather draconian sections. No person, after having been notified by a law enforcement officer that he or she is in violation of the prohibition of this section, shall, in the community commercial, neighborhood commercial, commercial beach, central business, and tourist residential zoning districts, so includes the downtown, Soquel Avenue, Mission Street, the beach area, all areas where there are businesses adjoining sidewalks in the town, no person shall intentionally throw, discharge, launch, or spill any solid object, including but not limited to footballs, hacky sacks, baseballs, beach balls, frisbees, or other similar devices, or liquid substance, with the exception of bubble street performers who otherwise comply with all applicable statutes and ordinances, or otherwise cause any object or substance to be thrown, discharged, launched, spilled, or to become airborne. No No paper kites, no pouring coffee, no sneezing. That could be the draconian interpretation of the law. And so Tom Noddy asked Christopher Crone, then mayor last summer, to specifically ask the city attorney, what about juggling? And the city attorney said, on the record, according to Tom, and I think I vaguely remember this too, although I'm not sure, but Tom has recently accessed the videotapes of the council meetings in July of last year, and he assures me this is the case, juggling is specifically permitted and not forbidden under this ordinance. You might say that's kind of a strange thing for the city attorney to say, because the ordinance seems to, and juggling does seem to fall under it by the actual wording of the ordinance, because it says, shall not throw, discharge, launch, or spill any solid object, or cause any object or substance to be thrown, discharged, launched, spilled, or to become airborne. And certainly when you throw balls in the air, you're making them become airborne, and there's no specific exception for jugglers. But you see, the city council was eager to present this veneer that they were simply making one or two changes, as Emily Riley put it, in response to a outpouring of rage from the community led by the merchants and Candy Jackson Moishi of Jackson's Shoes, who had a petition circulating, and that this was simply, they really want the traditional Santa Cruz. They're just taking care of the bad conduct downtown. In fact, of course, as many of us pointed out at the time, these laws have much broader application and serve to ratify police harassment of people that was already going on, where police were kind of making up things, distances, who is applicable, what behavior was covered under the older and still bad downtown ordinances passed in 94 by the Coonerty Kennedy Council, again in response to merchant pressure, again using very questionable stats against the majority opinion in the community. So, but the issue here in this particular case with Tom Noddy and the juggling issue was Tom specifically got Crone to ask the city attorney publicly, does this cover juggling, as they were being, right before they were being voted on, and the city attorney said no, doesn't cover juggling. And so Tom, who told me he'd been lobbying all the folks about this issue, various council members anyway, said he decided he didn't have to try to get a fourth vote to stop this and make a juggling is okay addition to the ordinance, if I understood what he said. And so he didn't. Well, he then learned that some professional jugglers in town, or he learned that some jugglers were being stopped by Officer Bechtel and told they couldn't juggle, they couldn't unicycle, various other things they couldn't do, but specifically they couldn't juggle. This is talking about actually a particular person, and I'll try to dredge, I think it sounds like a her, but it could be a he. I think the name is Corey. I'm going to find that on the emails I've been looking through over the last week. The $48 packet of emails, I was charged $48 to get emails from the city manager's office on this issue, and it took them 5 months to get the emails around, and what is a 10-day Public Records Act request is interesting. So, Tom felt, as I understand it, that he just had to raise the issue clearly about juggling, because the police were adopting a bizarre policy, and he heard that it was legal because the city attorney had told the council that it was legal, even though the law seems to state it's illegal. Then he heard from the city manager, the assistant city manager, that it wasn't legal. Actually, that was the night before he went out and started juggling. And then he went out and did some juggling. And I played that tape last time. He was arrested for juggling three lemons about 4 o'clock in the afternoon in front of Borders. And actually, I'm hoping to have him describe this, and he'll probably repeat everything I've told you, but perhaps in a more articulate and condensed and colorful fashion with some additional anecdotes. If I can reach him on the phone, I'm going to try to do that shortly. He may or may not want to talk about his jailhouse experiences, which I found interesting, but he'll have to talk to you about directly if he wants to do that. He was held for 13 hours in jail. 13 hours is a very long time to be held for an infraction offense. Now, it is true he declined to sign his ticket, and he then went to be taken to, he was taken to a magistrate, or he actually went to a magistrate on his own at the request of Officer Wendy Bynes, and Magistrate Judge Barton, Barracuda Barton, as I've called him traditionally in the past, and he kind of lived up to his name this time as well. Barracuda Barton said, you will sign your ticket, And Tom Noddy said, I'd like to make a decision. I said, no, we're not going to talk. You're going to sign your ticket. And Tom Noddy then just said, according to his account, to me, no thank you. And he was taken to jail. And normally when you're taken to jail under those circumstances, they book you in, they hold you 4 or 5 hours at the most, maybe 6 if it's an infraction. He was held 13 hours, and he was held in isolation, too. And he was held there, well, he should talk to me more about this, but I find the whole circumstance extremely abusive, and something that I think should receive publicity. So perhaps he'll discuss that, and perhaps not. He doesn't want to cloud the issue. The issue to him is not how the jail treated him, but how, in fact, the law and the police and the city officials are dealing with the issue of juggling, which is, he believes, and the rest of us do too, I think, a lot of us anyway, a public benefit. Part of the traditional downtown Santa Cruz scene. Something that actually draws tourists and does not disperse them. Something that is not a physical threat, that doesn't block traffic if it's well done. And if it isn't well done, there are other laws to deal with it than no juggling laws. And so, yesterday, those of us who are in front of the Pacific Trading Company urging a boycott of the Pacific Trading Company and of Jackson's Shoes, these are the two of the prime businesses responsible for the anti-juggling law, as well as, more recently, the no-sitting movement of the railing of the Walnut Avenue, Walnut Street and Pacific Planter that used to have up 20 or 30 seating spaces. Now, three sides of it have been essentially fenced off from seating in order just to get rid of, quote, undesirables, inappropriate gatherings, blah, blah, blah. Not done privately, mind you, but done through extensive pressure by the Pacific Trading Company. The other businesses involved, though they may, Costa Brava and Labrosi McCann's, while they may have been initially concerned, and I think all of us are concerned about real problems down there, but those are vastly exaggerated in this rather paranoid worldview you heard the Heinrichs describe last Thursday. We had a long interview with them, which we played. I did, that is. The table, run by Huff activists and others, sympathetic folks, are concerned about the elimination of public space downtown, the elimination of public entertainment downtown, the elimination of civil rights downtown. The table itself was targeted repeatedly by police, saying you have to move after an hour, something that has never been the case in Santa Cruz, and supposedly was never going to be the case, according to the council members who voted for the so-called move-along law in January. Rotkin and Kennedy were assuring us it won't be used against political activists. You know, only against bad musicians, see? That's how it's all going to come down. So I'm going to play a little bit of that now, and I'm going to try to reach Tom Noddy on the phone, see if Tom wants to kind of speak about his latest sort of wrap-up of the juggle crime, as he is now the master of. And we're going to go into a couple of other things. I'm going to play the Steve Argue arrest as well. Steve Argue was arrested for not moving a table downtown on Monday, about a week ago. And then I was surrounded by police, 8 of them and 7 squad cars, to force me to move the table after Steve had left. So let's see how that rolls. And if you have any questions, have any comments, you want to raise any issues, 427-3772 is the number here, 427-FRSC. If you want to reach me on the Internet, and nobody ever has during the show, but you're welcome to try, and I will try to check in, R Norse, R-N-O-R-S-E, R Norse, at hotmail.com. You can give me an email if you want to send an email, or leave a message offline and off air at 423-4833. So let's hear a little of what happened yesterday at the boycott bigotry table in front of the Pacific Trading Company, and where we were also focusing on the recent harassment and arrest of Tom Noddy, the juggler, who's also more famously known as the Bubble Man.
It's about 2:30 on June 28, 2003, and I'm down here in front of the Pacific Trading Company at the Man Jail for Juggling Three Lemons table. There's a man sitting illegally on a planter railing. Sir, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm just sitting here resting. What do you mean this is illegal? Sitting on this railing here, downtown Santa Cruz? They'll give me a ticket for that?
It's a possibility.
Yeah, well, you know, guys got to rest sometime.
First you rest, and then you get arrested, eh?
Yeah, then I'll rest in jail.
So what?
Taxpayers' expense.
Look at this. And there's illegal bubble blowing going on.
Arrest today keeps the captain away.
What's your name, sir?
I've forgotten my name. I see.
Now, what have you been up to down here? What's going on?
I'm an inspector looking for terrorist lemons.
There's a couple of lemon laws and some lemon shops.
Sent down here by the Homeland Security Department to look for various terrorist fruit. And I have my eye on those lemons over there.
Colonel Juggler here, Wendy. Get her.
And the woman that's carrying him around wearing...
Officer, you arrested one 3 days ago. Is this selective enforcement?
I was first attracted to this woman over here because she's wearing bananas on her shirt.
No. She's wearing bananas and she's juggling. This is lemons and bananas. And where are the apples and oranges? That's what I want to know. So what's the report? Anything happening down here, Jim?
No. Officer Bynes came by about, 7 minutes after 2 to let our tabler know, and that's Jenny, that she had an hour from now to pack up and get out of town. Well, not exactly that, but move along, move along, move along.
Section of Dodge.
Move along, little doggy, move along.
And how long was the table, in fact, set up?
Actually, she said it was 2:05, but it wasn't. It was 2:07. So she's trying to cop 2 minutes on us as those
teasing
cops.
The minutes.
Oh, man.
Wendy, when did you set up the table, actually?
I'm not quite sure.
When did Wendy say we were clocked in?
At 2:05.
How long before she arrived, actually?
Probably about a half an hour, I'd say.
And anything happened during that period that deserves a...
Lightfold, that was a good group.
Other than one flag-waving idiot, nothing other than that.
Uh-huh. How are the merchants of the Pacific Trading Company doing?
They've been pretty civil today. They came out with the camera once, but didn't really say anything. Just kind of did it pretty quietly and didn't do much.
Okay. And police haven't been spending too much time. Much police presence inside the Pacific Trading Company?
No, not yet. They've been leaving us alone quite a bit. Wendy did, only other than Wendy clocking us in and the CSO walking by, a hospitality guy came and overlooked the table for legality, I guess.
Oh, what was this, our older man Avery?
Yeah, it was, actually.
Hello.
Other than that, it's been pretty good, though.
Today.
And how's Becky doing with the juggling? Has she ever been actually able to do any juggling?
No, I don't think she has the juggling touch.
She will learn eventually. We invited Tom Noddy to come, but he declined at this time. And perhaps he's just juggled out or whatever. He never can tell.
Maybe it's fruit that's the problem.
We need a different kind of fruit, perhaps. I've got some great signs on the table. It says, man jailed for juggling 3 lemons. Are we in a police state yet? World famous bubble artist Tom Noddy arrested and jailed June 26, 2003 by the SCPD. And the move along laws in the front of the table. And over here, boycott.
We have some dissenters.
Pacific Trading Company in Jackson's Shoes.
Attorney came by whose name was Gabe. What was that attorney's name?
Well, here comes another attorney.
What was that attorney's name?
Slater or something. He's kind of an odd character. Mm-hmm. Odd. He offered to represent Tom Noddy and then went off about how he hates the homeless, which was kind of strange.
The homeless are responsible for many crimes here on the mall, including murders and physical harassment and various other things.
I see. Well, did he give any particular names?
The police have killed people on this street, but he knew that the homeless had.
It was one street over that the police killed Dine, but...
Right, that's one I was thinking.
The homeless have killed people. I haven't heard of any particular murders on Pacific Avenue. I've heard of a stabbing. It wasn't a lethal killing.
Well, there was a man. There's a few from out of town. Weren't they? I think the person they got for that stabbing was was from Watsonville or
I'm not sure.
San Jose or something.
Is that right?
Like that. I'm pretty sure, and there was another one not too far after that, and I think the suspect was supposedly from Santa Clara County. And that was what kind of helped force the downtown ordinances through with, for public opinion. If I'm correct.
Yeah, that's true. There was a lot of brouhaha about this
guy died of a heroin overdose, and somebody else came down and got angry with some marijuana dealers. It was kind of a strange misdirection, but maybe not.
Your name is?
Evan.
And Evan, you were doing a little lemon juggling there.
Yeah, indeed I was.
Now, how do you feel becoming a major criminal downtown on such short notice?
I feel like I need to hide.
Well, we will try to conceal your identity, and I think I'm looking both ways. I see no police around. You may have been able to make a getaway on this man.
Yeah, I'm running.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
We're talking with
Krishna Kanti. And
Krishna, you say that you were a Hare Krishna person?
Yes, and we're always getting in trouble for coming down and preaching the way that we preach by having Hare Nam Sankirtan. Which is playing mridangas or drums and kartals and singing out loud the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we're oftentimes asked to leave the mall.
Now, when was the last time this happened to you?
Well, I'm not certain exactly the date.
It has happened to you?
It has happened to me and a group of others, and
I find that rather dispiriting.
It is, because, I mean, we also are involved in community service and feeding, you know, the hungry and having, we put on a Christmas program for the needy every year, and so we are giving back to our community, but we can't come out here and preach. It's considered a disturbance, you know.
Well, come over here and preach here anytime you want. You can disturb us if you'd like.
All right, thanks.
All right. So you've just been given a communique from Carolyn. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know if she's right or not, but she said that I can't film into private areas.
Oh, no. She's in public.
Yeah, I thought it'd be reviewable. I thought that was the...
So we have the owner of the Pacific Trading Company has just announced that though she can video us from her store because she doesn't want to have a political table out here, if we video that way, she's going to take perhaps legal action. She regards it as inappropriate. Boycott the Pacific Trading Company.
I guess you're going to sue some kids.
Sorry?
Is she going to sue some kids?
She has advised us that it is somehow ill. Oh! Amplified music downtown. Arrest that man. Just kidding. Sure, there was a homeless man recently who got a ticket for having his radio on.
Hey, you know the one that's in the city council.
He's right inside. He can tell you why he banned juggling in Santa Cruz. Vice Mayor Scott Kennedy is right inside the Pacific Trading Company right now. He will tell you. He will tell you why he banned juggling in Santa Cruz. That's the vice mayor of our town inside the Pacific Trading Company. Juggling is illegal in Santa Cruz. You want to know why? Ask the man in the white t-shirt inside the Pacific Trading Company, Vice Mayor Scott Kennedy. His vote made that illegal. Right now, you can talk to your vice mayor in the Pacific Trading Company. Find out why he doesn't like jugglers in Santa Cruz. Fireman? Boycott bigotry.
All oppression is bad and burning and making the best of the home.
Right, come and talk to us. Tell us what's up.
Move on.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
So, how are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing very well.
So what's happening with the juggling? Are you proposing changes that will actually decriminalize it? I know that the downtown ordinance is coming up for a review, supposedly. In July, they were supposed to be reviewed.
I'm not aware of being on the agenda.
What about the exemption zones that you were going to be working on? What happened with those?
I think they've identified one that will be announced. No big surprise, the Scribner statue space.
And that's it, pretty much as far as you know?
I think as far as I know, that's the only one people could agree to.
Now, was there any public process around this? I mean, did you have an open meeting for the public? Did you let them know?
Yeah, we had a lot of hearings. I believe you were aware of those.
Well,
in fact, I think you attended many of them.
You were sent to...
In fact, some would say you dominated most of them.
You were sent to determine this, Scott. After that time, did you hold any meetings when you made those decisions?
So I have personally...
Apparently not.
Personally, I've never set foot inside a Pacific Trading Company before today, but I was driving up Pacific Avenue. I saw that you were here harassing the merchants again. So I went in. Can I finish my comment?
Sure.
So I went in and bought a gift certificate for my wife. I'd never done that before at Pacific Trading Company, but I'm proud to support them and trust you'll get a life at some point. Well, carry on.
We have one, Scott. We hope you get a constitution at some point and reply it to Santa Cruz.
We have one, Robert. Thanks.
What about those jugglers, Scott? What about those jugglers? What about those jugglers, Scott?
Okay.
Vice Mayor Kennedy declines to respond on whether he's going to decriminalize juggling. Scott, another chance. You can talk about it. Don't walk away, Scott. Looks like Scott has nothing to say on that subject.
Well, it's about 3:20, actually 3:25 by my watch, but I think I'm about 5 minutes fast, and we're at the Pacific Trading Company still. No warning from the police about an hour at the table, and Scott Kennedy has left after having had a chat with Carolyn of the Pacific Trading Company. So, Jenny, thank you for doing the tabling.
Thank you very much for having it down here.
And you're taking off at about 3:25, and you're passing on the table to... Who wants to volunteer to take the table?
I'll take it.
Gabe, the questionable Gabe, yes, okay. Gabe is taking the table.
Fair enough.
Thank you for coming. And there's been some concern. Apparently police officers said something about somebody else. If they leave without the table, they'll seize the table? Or what kind of strange thing were you told?
Well, I didn't hear the officer, but Gabe said that the officer told him that...
Let me find out. I'll get it from Gabe.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, what did the police officer tell you about this issue?
I asked yesterday if Sergeant Flippo, if I could... I think it's either that or the CSO, the other goofy-looking white one. I don't remember. But I asked if I could, if we could switch off responsibility for tables, and he said that no, and it would be assumed as abandoned property, and they would seize the table and.
Oh, that's not much. That's interesting, though. I see. Thank you. So in other words, let me clarify this. You said you wished to take over responsibility for the table, and you said that you were not allowed to do that?
Well, I asked if I could do that, and he said that they would be assumed as stolen merchant, or not stolen, but abandoned property and would be seized.
So Joe Williams of the Keep Santa Cruz Weird t-shirt and the questionable black hat, you say something about tonight at Marimba Players on Saturday night?
Yeah, the SADZA, S-A-D-Z-A, I got a notice that they were going to be setting up tonight, Saturday, what is today, 28th, 27th, whatever it is, in front of O'Neill's, and they wanted community support in case they get hassled for noise or move along or whatever. So
they have the papers.
Their papers, yes.
They have the permits.
There are no papers. There are no permits. It's one of them Kafkaesque situations.
There's an hour move-along law, Vice Mayor Kennedy's law. By the way, you heard the colloquy between me and Mr. Kennedy. What was your analysis of it?
Oh, he's playing CYA, as I guess most of the council is going to be
CYA
doing.
CYA is
cover your ass.
Cover your ass.
He's a politician. He's playing politics. It's, you know, and he's taking sides on the issue. In terms of like he did make a comment about like since you're out here harassing the Pacific Trading Company, he went in and made a point to buy a gift certificate.
Point of honor.
Yeah, so he's definitely taking sides, merchants versus the street scene. So I'm not sure if that's appropriate. But
boy, he got the Pacific Trading Company.
As a private citizen, he can do what he wants. But you know, he did mention one exemption zone. You know, by the Scribner statute.
You want to accuse me of harassment?
Did I hear him accuse you of harassment? Yes. Yeah.
You're a little bit hurt by that.
Exercising your free speech rights is, I guess, now harassment.
It's
in
now
Santa Cruz.
And, let's keep that in mind.
I guess so. I mean, it's sad because what if you had some kind of labor dispute and this was a information table set up to expose, you know, bad labor practices.
Sweatshop practices.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the case here, evidently, but it's... it sure sets a bad precedent down the road in terms of, like, what type of enforcement.
We'll deal with that when we come to it. Thank you, Joe.
The selective enforcement.
Oh, come. Let's not be... I mean, don't you sound like a minion of Robert Norse?
One of the many Norse dupes in this town.
Indeed, and dupe on, that's what I say. We're talking with Joe Williams. Joe, what's the story here?
Oh, just in terms of contrast and comparison, Wolf has a table. They're out here usually every Saturday in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, and they're, you know, registering voters and trying to get signatures on petitions and whatever, and I mentioned the move-along lot of them, and, you know, they seemed somewhat surprised, and I asked them if anybody had said anything to them, and they said no, and I encouraged them to, you know, contact the Peace Coalition if they had, you know, if they do get some negative police attention or host attention. And so they've been made aware of it, but it's definitely a selective enforcement thing. They're being left alone, and you're being timed out down here for essentially the same activity. So it's a little bit of selective enforcement.
Now, you know this because you actually went and saw they were there for an hour? And
yeah. Oh, in fact, yeah, one of the women, I'm not going to name her, said, like, oh, well, if they come then, we'll just say we started here at 2, and they'd actually been there for a lot longer. So they were concocting some story that they could say they'd been there.
Can you go down there and see what they're... Maybe I should go down there and find out what their current scene is. Maybe we could ask Matt to do that. Matt?
Would I do to see you one more time? What would I do to hold your hand in mine? What would I do to kiss your lips one more time? I'd pour out my life like it was the finest one. Across the world's seven seas, I'd climb the high mountain peak. If I could just hear your laugh one more time.
Right. Nicely done, Jeff.
It's the same table as earlier, right?
Yeah.
It needs to be a different table. So you got to pack it up and move it out. You can't just change people.
Yeah, well, when she left, the hour wasn't up yet, so we were waiting.
I know. It's been busy today.
Oh, yeah.
Police officer making us move the political table downtown. Santa Cruz, you have to move your table every hour, or you get a $162 citation. The new laws of the city council, thanks to the Pacific Trading Company and Candy Jackson's shoes. If you don't move your table, you get ticketed.
What do we want to do with this right now?
Put a blanket on.
Yeah, put down a blanket, why not? I'll go get a blanket.
How long can a person...
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're listening to Conversations on the Street with yours truly from yesterday in front of the Pacific Trading Company on Pacific Avenue, one of the stores that is responsible for the downtown ordinances that had a juggler arrested 3 days ago, Tom Noddy. The bubble blower was doing some juggling with lemons, and he was taken away. I haven't yet been able to reach Tom by phone. We're hoping to have an interview with him this morning, but we'll see what happens with that. For those who are interested, we're hoping to continue this tabling every day, starting at 1 o'clock, going as long as people want to do it. Again, to inform people about what's going on downtown, to gather information about how police are treating people and how the merchants are treating people, and also to encourage the public not to patronize those businesses that support this new draconian police powers that they're using to harass bicyclists, harass political activists, harass people chalking on the sidewalk political messages, harass jugglers, move along political tables, and again, mostly go after poor and homeless people who are hanging out. People who hang out without visible means of support are the main focus of this whole process, and have been even before Candy Jackson's petition and Ed Porter and Emily Riley's ill-advised rushed downtown ordinance tightening happened last summer and was made worse by the Rotkin-Matthews-Kennedy activity of this January, where they made the move-along law and extended the restrictions on display devices from 6 feet to 10 feet. They were supposed to bring these issues back to City Council in 6 months, but as you heard from Kennedy, there are no plans to do that. They were supposed to establish exemption zones and have some kind of a process to talk about this, but Kennedy instead is just going to assert one exemption zone, perhaps, although it's not even clear that that's on any agenda, in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz. Of course, completely impossible to have only one exempted zone downtown for political tabling and musicians and so forth. And, of course, they failed to do about four or five other things they were supposed to do, which Joe Williams has made an excellent compendium of in a flyer, which I believe he's going to be coming out with soon, and I think I refer to in some of my literature. I'm going to talk about that in detail later. Let's catch a musical break from one of the individuals who was arrested downtown for playing music, Mike True, who was actually arrested for displaying or actually having on his person his CDs of his own music that he was passing on for donation. Let's hear Mike True.
I ain't an outlaw, I ain't no thief. My spirit's willing, but these habits, they run deep. I ain't the bad guy, I didn't shoot anyone. But you got me running like a last bar West outlaw. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw, wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Yeah, yeah. I try to make a living, but your work day never stops. It's a trail well ridden, never takes you to the top. I don't want to change things, just the right to choose. But you got me singing those desperado blues. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun.
Desperado Blues. Now we're going to go back to Monday when Steve Argue was arrested downtown for having a political table for more than 1 hour in front of the Pacific Trading Company. We played this segment before, and we're going to kind of play part of it again and then play a continuing discussion, well, debate, exchange between Candy Jackson and Mike True, the man who just sung the last song and who was down there playing all afternoon on Monday. Interestingly enough, as I think I may have mentioned in the last show, the focus of the police was on the political table, surveilling it, timing it, harassing those running it so that they would have to move on after an hour, sending in a relatively huge police force, eight police officers and seven squad cars for me, and four or five cars and four officers for Steve. And in the course of all this, they ignored Mike True, who was playing the guitar and had his CDs out. He was taking the bold and courageous step of displaying his CDs for a donation, which he did before. He was arrested for a year ago and has discouraged him from playing on the mall since then. He now has a lawsuit in federal court on that issue. And what you're going to hear... institutionalized. It's gotten rationalized and justified by the city council. But what I'm saying is that he was left alone. And so was the individual who did chalking on the sidewalk, Don't Clothe Yourself in Bigotry, was chalked in front of the Pacific Trading Company. They did rush in this sidewalk hoser, steamer, steam clean hoser. I'm not sure exactly. It was a pretty high pressure hoser to get rid of the chalk, which could actually be done just by simply washing down the sidewalk with a simple hose from a business. And that person was not harassed either by police, though Mia Duquette of the Parks and Rec Department did call the police, walked direct into a Pacific Trading Company to call the police on this individual. And so it was interesting that the point is that the political activists who are often blamed for raising the heat on the street and causing other people to suffer bad consequences protected people who were nearby by drawing the heat, if you will. And I think that's an interesting thing to note. Let's hear now from the Steve Argue arrest. Again, this is Steve Argue at a table legally placed in front of the Pacific Trading Company at Walnut and Pacific to protest the downtown ordinances, the walling off, the railing off of the planter at public expense, $6,600 out of the police department budget, through pressure from the Pacific Trading Company, Jackson's Shoes, and essentially scheming behind the backs of the citizenry with the staff of the city, the assistant city manager, and various other individuals to eliminate seating spaces for people. Again, part of the homeless control, move along, make it inhospitable for the people who don't have Visa cards, etc. approach being used downtown.
Sergeant Baker is here with three police to eliminate a political table downtown. You thought this was 1984? Well, you're right. It's Santa Cruz, 2003. We have a couple of hosts here, para police agents. They're waving at you. Say hi to the hosts. They're the people who will finger you later, smile at you, and then finger you later. And we have four police officers dealing with a political table downtown.
Officer Baker, who is now currently being sued for a violation of freedom of speech.
This is Mike True.
Officer Baker is actually...
named in a suit.
He's named in three separate federal lawsuits here in Santa Cruz. That's Sergeant Baker over there.
Leader.
He's about to remove a political table downtown. And an activist with it, apparently.
Isn't there a restraining order against this man? He's in these federal lawsuits right now.
No, it would be nice if there were.
Will the police stop this man from distributing flyers here by arresting him and removing his table? You get to watch in the next 5 minutes. Is it rape? Is it murder? No, it's a political table downtown. It's a double parked squad car. that's been kept running downtown to deal with this terrible crime situation.
Santa Cruz, and that this table has to move.
So he told you that the first
time? I told him that, he didn't use those words. So I told him that the table wasn't moving.
Steve Argue speaking.
Okay. And that I won't sign a citation.
Okay.
And if you want to take down this table, and if you want to take away our constitutional rights, you'll have to arrest me. You'll have to take me to jail.
Okay. Do you understand the officer's going to try to issue a citation for violating the municipal ordinance?
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it. I mean, it's you violating the law. It's not me.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, Officer Phelps is pulling out his ticket book under direction of Sergeant Baker.
Follow orders.
Citations for political tabling downtown. Three police officers, one sergeant.
Check out what they
is it John Ashcroft? Is it George Bush? No, it's Santa Cruz, right here. Check it out.
You need to show me your identification.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
What is this, South Africa? I got to pull out my papers?
Yeah.
Upon...
You're required to show me your identification.
No, I'm not going to show you my identification. You know who I am. You already called me Mr. Argue. You know who I am.
I know your name. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, you already know who I am.
You can
harassment here on the street.
There's no law that I have to have identification.
Then you can stand here with me and give me all of your information so I can write it down. Because
no.
Right now you're being detained.
Like I said, I'm not going to sign your ticket anyway.
Okay. Well, you can give him the information.
Now, what's happening here, I'm going to interrupt this to let you know that you do not have to give any more information other than your name and your address, unless they suspect you of lying. And giving false information, then they don't need any more information than that. And since he announced he is not going to sign the ticket, he doesn't have to give information as well. This is a technique that the police are using, which is really the key issue here, which is humiliating people, putting them in a subservient position, exerting police power. You see it happening all over the avenue, whether a bicyclist is going the wrong way or someone is sitting on the lip of a planter and in all kinds of innocent behavior of this sort. The individuals who are on the bike are forced to go sit by the side of the building and answer questions and sit for warrant checks. All this kind of stuff, which it would be humiliating, degrading, and outrageous if some other citizen tried to do it to you, police are able to do with a snap of the fingers and are doing regularly downtown. This is why I call it police state, and that's why I call Ed Porter Police State Porter, because it's his legislation last summer, along with Emily Riley's, that put us in this position even more than we were then, although they were doing it then, and they really wanted ratification, and they got it. So what Steve Argue is doing here in saying, I don't have to give you any information, is quite accurate, because they have all the information on Steve Argue already in their computer. He has been booked before. He has been repeatedly harassed for jaywalking before. They have all the information. When Baker made the same inquiry, Sergeant Baker, of me, and said, can you give me your name and give me your address, I said, you know my name, you know my address, give me my citation. I don't need to tell you anything more. You have it all on the police computer. And that's the simple truth. But the reality is they're not interested in your name and your address. They're interested in making you respond to their orders in a subservient fashion, in making you show the respect that they do not deserve through the unauthorized, illegal power that they're exercising, or if you will, the authorized and legal but frighteningly wrong and unconstitutional power that they're exercising. You're listening to the arrest of Steve Argue on Monday, June 23rd. A week ago.
Go through that.
Well, he already knows. Okay.
I have your name.
You already know. All right. What else do you need?
Spell your first name for me, please.
With a V or a PH? V.
Police is demanding this man's name for political tabling.
Raymond.
Check out what they don't want to read.
Because of the law
A-R-G-U-E.
Of the Pacific Trading Company and Jackson Shoes, we have these three police officers here today.
11:35.
You want to support that? Support these businesses.
Check out what they don't want you to read.
You wonder when they were coming to Santa Cruz to remove your rights? Today is the day. Check it out.
Officer Phelps is writing a citation.
Check out what they don't want you to read.
I'll follow you. Boycott the Pacific Trading Company or smile and spend some more money. It's your choice.
They're overpriced anyway, so.
And it's about 3:35.
Gee, there are only three police officers and one sergeant here. Maybe we need some more police officers downtown to deal with one nonviolent tabler who is being removed because of a protest against the Pacific Trading Company and Jackson Shoes, the two stores that have given us the anti-homeless laws and the presence of these police here in this situation. Your Constitution gets to disappear while you watch. A historic moment, folks. You can tell your kids. And we have two, no, another police officer has arrived. That makes four police officers and one sergeant to deal with, and of course two hosts. Let's not forget the hosts. They're waving right there. They're the hosts. They're friendly in this matter. Wave at them. That's good.
It's a plain device. We sign on the red box. By doing so, you're not admitting guilt. You're just promising to contact the courts by the 23rd of July of this year. By signing, you're not admitting guilt. You're just promising to contact the court by that day. Understand?
I understand. I'm not going to sign it because this is harassment. This is free speech having this political table. And the city of Santa Cruz and you, Officer 158, are violating the Constitution by saying that we can't.
Section 853.5 of the Penal Code. You're required to sign a citation.
We're dealing with this right here.
Otherwise, you're demanding to see a magistrate, and we have to take you immediately to do that.
All right, take me to a magistrate then.
Okay.
Where you go, man, I just want to express all the...
Man being handcuffed downtown, right here. Four.
And again, that's an inaccurate statement by the officer. Unless they've been given new orders, the practice of the police department and the wording of the law about taking you to a magistrate is if an individual requests to be taken to a magistrate, that can happen. He is changing it by saying that they have to take him to a magistrate if he refuses to sign a citation, which might actually be a useful protection under those circumstances where a magistrate is open. But in fact, again, is an example of police making up the law as they go. I see someone is trying to call in. Let's see who we got on the line here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, it's Earth Mommer.
Hey there, Earth Mommer.
I just got some interesting information from someone about the mayor having gotten in trouble for getting in a fight with a college student or something.
You're
in
talking
the
about
bar?
The Watsonville mayor?
Oh, is it the Watsonville mayor?
It is, yeah. He actually has resigned.
Look at how people act when they get power.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, and what's even worse is how they act behind the cover of authority, you know, in fashion, in a way that looks quite okay to the community. Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
So they arrested Steve Argue.
They arrested him, and he was, well, he was taken to court. He actually, he was taken in handcuffs to court, though Tom Noddy, 3 days later, was allowed to drive his vehicle to court. Ironically, his vehicle was later towed when he, like Steve Argue, declined to sign a ticket when ordered to do so by Judge Barton.
Oh, and then he went to jail for 13 hours.
And then Noddy went to jail for 13 hours. Steve was released.
Oh.
He actually didn't even have to sign a ticket. He refused to sign the ticket, and Judge Danner finessed the whole matter by saying, in essence, we'll come back on this date for a court date, which is what Barton could have done with Tom Noddy, Judge Barton, but instead, again, to show his authority, to demand that other people bow, truckle, and do what he wants them to do, he insisted on Noddy signing the citation. Noddy said, I want to talk to you first. No, wouldn't let him talk. Then sign the citation. No. No, thank you, he said, and he was taken to jail. So his attempt to intimidate people through fear and authority and the power of these misused institutions is really, well, it's something I've seen year after year, and it's something that's really impressive when people resist it.
Did Barton, do you think Barton told them to hold him for 13 hours?
No, I don't think so. I think Barton just told him to take him in jail. The details of why he was held for 13 hours, I think, has to do with interactions with deputies in the jail. But that Tom will have to tell that story. I think he wants to talk about that.
I hope we get an interview with him. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're reviewing the arrest of political tabler Steve Argue downtown on Monday, June 23rd, and also talking about the arrest of juggler, street performer, bubble blower Tom Noddy, who was arrested on Thursday, June 26th. Again, under the same set of laws passed by the city council to crack down and give the police more tools to deal with the unruly, the unwashed, and the unwanted. You want to have something to say about this? Call 427-3772. We're going to hear a little bit more of the Argue arrest and the subsequent discussion of it and interaction and exchange that went on between Mike True, the musician who was also arrested a year before and is now suing Sergeant Baker and the city in federal court. Steve Argue has already won a lawsuit in federal court against the city for arresting him and physically abusing him while he was selling newspapers a block away. Street newspapers, the Street Spirit newspaper, in fact. So he's no stranger to this kind of process. Let's hear some more.
Police officers, one sergeant. Is this crime rape? Is it murder? No, it's political tabling downtown. While you watch, check it out. Pacific Trading Company, Jackson Shoes, the two businesses largely responsible for the downtown ordinances. Man is being taken right now to court, to a magistrate, because these police want to remove this table, because these businesses don't like the tabling here. Your Constitution, remember? There it goes, into that squad car, right there. It's going into the squad car with that man. The U.S. Constitution is going right there with him. So let's keep shopping, everybody. It's okay, you can trust your police, don't worry. Here's another squad car, just in case more squad cars are needed to remove the petitions. Pretty serious stuff here in downtown Santa Cruz. Aren't you glad we have these men being paid $30 to $40 an hour to do this? Thank God. A man in handcuffs in a squad car because he sat at a table with a petition for more than an hour. A law in Santa Cruz that the police are enforcing that says you can't table for more than an hour. A law pushed by Jackson Shoes and the Pacific Trading Company. Support that. Go over and buy some more merchandise from them. Check it out. Police arresting the Constitution in Santa Cruz. Check it out.
And the merchants are applauding the police for doing that, and some are hooting. Some other people are hooting from the side there.
Seven or eight, nine people clapping. Seizing a table and a chair. They're taking it away, folks. But don't worry. You can still buy some knickknacks in the Pacific Trading Company. You can still buy some shoes in Jackson Shoes. It's okay. We don't need these tables anyway. George Bush will make those decisions for us. Thank God.
What this is all about. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Thank God you do. But you cannot remove people forcibly for speaking freely. They're not removing you. not removing your store, are they? No, they're not. Because you have rights, but they have rights.
Businesses downtown eliminating political rights on the street with the help of their friends, the police. Pacific Trading Company, Jackson Shoes, the two main businesses involved. Sergeant Baker, the man accused in three federal lawsuits of violating civil rights, currently in the courts. Sergeant Lauren Baker.
Why are they yelling with candy, though?
Because Jackson Shoes was responsible for the anti-homeless downtown ordinances and make it illegal for people to sit on the sidewalk.
I missed the thing where she went, oh. What is it? That Candy started the...
She started the petition last summer to get the ordinances in place and made it much more difficult for people.
What's the petition for?
Well, she got the city council to pass laws that criminalize people who sit within 14 feet of buildings, ask for spare change peacefully, bounce a ball on the sidewalk, throw a frisbee. It's illegal to bounce a ball. Right. And you can't bounce a ball either. That's also illegal.
What?
You can't blow bubbles because Candy Jackson's petition had it, and the city council bought it.
You can't, blow bubbles, buy little...
Why?
Correct. And it's illegal to chalk on the sidewalk in erasable chalk as well.
Really?
Yeah.
You can just take a hose to the thingamajig.
I knew most of this already.
And the street cleaner people, that walk around in the morning that with the power hoses, they just walk that up.
That's really stupid.
It's not posing a hazard to anybody, so why can't we
Because the businesses don't want undesirable people. They regard young people sometimes as undesirable or homeless people.
Oh, to look bad in front of...
Right, they want to move them along. What's that?
Totally all against the law.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
No bad.
They make a lot of...
We're listening to discussion on the street after the arrest of Steve Argue in front of the Pacific Trading Company on June 23rd, Monday. I reached Steve by phone a few minutes ago. He may be listening to the show right now, and I believe that it's been busy, but the line is now open. If anybody wants to call in, looks like someone is calling in. Let's see who that is. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Oh, no, is this Jailbird Argue?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Haven't you learned your lesson? What are you doing with all this tabling stuff?
Defending the right to free speech, and I've printed up a flyer on what happened and the flyer that I was passing out as part of that table. What's that?
Yeah, we actually have, we had that flyer at the table yesterday.
Okay, cool.
And we were distributing it in a smaller version, kind of the space-saving version.
I see. I asked you what you were saying, and then there seems to be something else bleeding in on the line. That's what threw me off. Anyway, yeah, so good. And I'm basically vowing to keep on getting arrested under this law until it's repealed.
So, you know, we're having I can hear it bleeding in, too. We're having an event tomorrow. I know today there may be someone tabling and may not. I'm not going to be tabling, and I'm not sure if anybody is going to be doing it today, but people are welcome to if they want.
I'd like to do it tomorrow. I'd like to get arrested again, too.
Well, you know, I think we...
I mean, not that I want to get arrested, but, if they so choose again to arrest me for free speech.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're the one who got arrested, and I got surrounded, and I played around with them and took down the table and moved the display a little bit, but then came back and pointed out that they stay there. But I think I may do the same tomorrow as well. It depends. I'll try to feel it out and encourage people to come down there and certainly support you or do it with you. But I also want to let you know that we've taken a lot of video. Becky Johnson has taken a lot of videos of what's gone on, including your arrest, including Tom Noddy juggling on Thursday, though she didn't get his arrest, actually, because that happened an hour or two later. And she's going to be, we're going to play that on the sidewalk, probably around 5 o'clock in front of the Pacific Trading Company.
Okay.
And the reason we have to wait till later is because the shadows are necessary for people to be able to see the television clearly. Usually we did this a year ago or half a year ago, and, you know, down at Cooper and Pacific across from the Cinema 9 when we had our Merry Mondays. But that shadow from that building, it makes it so that you can actually see, you know, that you can have sort of a shaded area early. It's kind of hard to have a shaded area in front of the trading company until later. But, yeah, I think we're going to start tabling around 1 o'clock tomorrow and then go as long as we have people to do it and then do a video show later. There are other plans, like such as having a mobile table, such as moving down and kind of hooking up with the Food Not Bombs people who serve at the corner of Cooper and Pacific at 4 o'clock. So we encourage everybody out there to come.
But we're going to be up in front of Pacific Trading Company at 1 o'clock, keeping the pressure up on Pacific Trading and Jackson Shoes, these people who want to take away our rights.
Who have taken away our rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's on your end. It's music actually bleeding through. It's like Greg Brown. Maybe from the computer.
Nothing is playing in the studio. Let me double check.
Anyway, so people should come down at 1 o'clock. I want to encourage people with other organizations and individuals to also violate this law and, keep up the pressure in terms of bringing bad publicity to the city council and its police and these merchants who have taken away many of our rights. And it's always been a struggle in this country for free speech, because those in power have always been trying to take it away, and there's always been a fight back from working class people and people who believe in human rights and free speech rights to win them back. And in fact, that's why there are amendments to the Constitution in the first place. The First Amendment to the Constitution wasn't there in the original draft of the Constitution, and people didn't trust the government right after they made the revolution in this country, demanded it and got it. And it's been a fight to keep it ever since. And now we have these so-called progressives on the city council, and each and every one of them is not progressive in any way. They're right-wing and reactionary when it comes to political rights, and they need to be exposed. We need to vote them out, vote in leftists like myself and Thomas Levitt when it comes around to elections.
Speaking of progressives, Steve, Scott Kennedy showed up at the store yesterday, Vice Mayor Kennedy. We played a little segment where he went into the Pacific Trading Company, talked to Carolyn Heinrich, then came out and chatted with me briefly, saying that he'd stop there because he'd noticed me harassing the Pacific Trading Company people, and he wanted to, for the first time in his life, buy something at the Pacific Trading Company. And he also pointed out that they, when asked about exemption zones, which is part of the bogus compromise deal that he had the Downtown Commission work on for I don't know how many hours last summer, and they came up with a recommendation and said, we can't come up with any exemption zones. He announced there was going to be one exemption zone in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. So what do you think of that?
Well, Scott Kennedy, it's interesting the power he pulls with the police department, which of course they all pull. There was a political table set up by someone who works through the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Wednesday.
Of which he is the co-founder, right?
Yeah. And, you know, some of the people who work through the Resource Center for Nonviolence are very good people politically, you know, opposed to wars, opposed to U.S. aid to the Zionist State of Israel and so forth. And that's what this political table was set up for. But it was very interesting. I talked to the guy who had the table up, and he said the police came by and told him about the hour limit and was getting ready to give him a ticket. But he told this guy that he was with Scott Kennedy, and the cop backed down and didn't give him a ticket, and left the table standing.
How? What day was this?
This was Wednesday.
And where was the table situated?
It was over by the farmer's market.
Huh. And do you know what time this was?
I don't have the exact time. No, but it was during those times of the farmer's market between 2 and 6, something like that.
Do you know the name of the guy running the table?
Yeah.
Okay, give that to me later, and we'll keep that as a... No, and that's just another example. I know that you're going to hear more as we play a tape of what happened yesterday, if anyone's listening, about what Joe Williams reported, which was that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom had their table set up for at least 2 hours in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, and they were ignored by the police.
So
politically correct groups, as we suspected, are not harassed, whereas, like, the vigil against two wars, the 24-hour vigil back in March was the first group harassed. Huff.
Anything that has to do with the rights of the homeless, anything that has to do with you or me, you know, anything that has to do with the rights of musicians, these things are not allowed. Anything that's dealing strictly with national issues, you know, and taking on George Bush and, you know, maybe the Democrats and so forth on a national scale, they'll leave alone. But if it's taking on this local city council, the police force of this local city council will come after you.
Wow. I mean, I guess it's sort of, Tammany Hall or the bosses of any city, but it's kind of disillusioning here in Santa Cruz where this city council makes a big deal of its progressiveness, supposedly, you know, opposes the Iraqi war, although they have not called for the ending of the U.S. occupation of Iraq. I've noticed that.
Right.
And let me ask you about that while we're on the line here. I don't know if you noticed, but in Saturday's paper, though, Dan White, the writer for the Santa Cruz Sentinel, had not a word to say about the arrest of Tom Noddy, though he was informed about it by me, though he was present when Tom Noddy did his initial juggling 2 hours before and knew it was a likelihood. He had not an inch of column got in about the fact that a world-famous performer who lives in Santa Cruz was taken to jail and held there for 12 hours. But instead, what White did was a long article on the fact that, and it was kind of an interesting article, actually. I mean, I don't really begrudge him for it, but again, the fact that he censored the rest, he whited out, that's why we call him White Out White, you know, the article on Noddy. He did a long article about Tuesday's city council meeting where Joe Williams raised the issue of Emily Riley's proclamation of, what is it, U.S. Armed Forces, or Salute the Military, or a Bravo to the Troops Day. I got to get the exact
name. Right. With nothing about bringing the troops home.
With not a word about bringing the troops home. And of course, her history on that whole issue is incredible. I mean, you know, she has delayed and delayed until people pressured her into holding a public meeting. Then she held a meeting where it couldn't be televised, and it didn't arrange for radio broadcast at the Del Mar Theater instead of at the Civic Auditorium. Then she scheduled a belated meeting at the Civic Auditorium, which would have been too late except that Turkey and other countries, you know, didn't agree with the Bush policy, so the war was delayed. But then she canceled that meeting and held it 3 weeks later with no publicity, so there were only 100 people who showed up. She ignored all the resolutions that came out of the first meeting at the Del Mar, such as impeach Bush, censure Farr, set up Santa Cruz as a sanctuary zone, do various things that would indicate a strong opposition to the war in some concrete, specific, local way. And then what happened was they finally came up with two resolutions, the Porter resolution and the Kennedy resolution. The Kennedy resolution was actually a pretty good resolution, so was the Porter resolution. It was okay. Kennedy delayed the Porter resolution. It was delayed again, and then it just disappeared from sight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for taking up all this time over you on the phone, but I just wanted to get that in. Any reaction to that?
Yeah, it's it's part of what I've been saying in terms of, you know, some people say, well, they're good on some of these national issues, and, you know, they're lesser evils or whatever, and, you know, the kind of things you hear about Democrats and government. But, you know, and they supposedly get things done. They've done their compromises to get into government, whatever people think of, you know, inside-outside approaches or things. But even, see, what I argue is that even on these issues where they seem to be progressive, it's only opportunism on their part. It's to make them look good in the eyes of a progressive community that wouldn't elect them if they didn't do a few things that made them look progressive. But even on these issues, they play a role of holding the movement back, of compromising the real issues involved. When the movement for against war and so forth really should be looking in a more radical direction, a complete break from the Democratic Party, including its most left wing. You know, its most left wing is elected in office here in Santa Cruz, and you can see where they are in terms of workers' rights, in terms of the rights of the poor and rights of the homeless, in terms of free speech rights. They're no good either, and we really do need alternatives to them, and that's why I'm part of the Peace and Freedom Party. And I don't think the Emily Rileys are going to end war, the Emily Rileys of the world. They're not going to end war, and they're not going to do any of the other things that progressive-minded people want.
Anything coming up on the local scene that we should know about, Steve?
Well, I think the main thing that I know about that I want to encourage people to go to again is come on down to the free speech tabling tomorrow, 1 o'clock, in front of Pacific Trading Company.
I'll second that, and I'll also say that if we get some calls that people want to table today, I can pass on the table to folks. I can't do it myself, but if anybody's interested, I'd be happy to provide it.
Okay. Cool.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Argue.
All right.
Talk to you when you
thank
talk
you.
To me.
All right. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse. This is Bathrobus Pierre's Broadsides. That's my other name, Bathrobus Pierre Robert. I haven't been wearing my bathrobe lately. I'm running around in baggy pants and tattered shorts, or actually tattered slacks. All my pants seem to rip here and there, even though I'm losing a little weight. So, Bathrobus Pierre, though, because we oppose the sleeping ban, those of us who've been doing this fight for a number of years. I'm one of them. And people in bathrobes, I thought, would be a comic interlude, and yet at the same time say something serious about the fact that homeless people in Santa Cruz have no right to sleep after 11 o'clock at night. They don't just have no right to camp, which is set up a tent and, you know, start a fire. It's not that they don't have a right to just, they don't have a right to cover up with bedding. They don't have that right either. But if they fall asleep, period, on any public property, anywhere in town, it's illegal. Period. And it's a $54 fine. And police have gotten meaner. They've been using the camping ordinance section, which is a $162 fine, against sleepers. And in order to avoid this kind of stuff, you have to go through a labyrinth. If you want to fight these tickets, you, even if the shelters are full, as they always are every night, 8 months of the year, and that's verified by Karen Brock and others at the Homeless Resource Center. You got to go to court to fight these tickets, and that means you have to be able to stand in line to disqualify Mulligan, unless you want to trust him, the referee in the basement, who I encourage people to disqualify under Section 170.6 CCP. Run and grab your pencil, and I'll say that later in the program. We're a city which has a whole series of codes that criminalize poor people, and which, again, maintains this progressive veneer, the Scott Kennedy veneer of being a liberal, of being a great fighter for the rights of Palestinians, but a betrayer of the rights of poor Santa Cruzans. And that's really the shame. And, you know, we've invited him and Rotkin to debate this subject. They refused to come to the studio to do it. Rotkin did come into the studio to talk about Representative Farr, Bain, or Boone to the peace movement, but he declined to come back, or he has refused or declined to return calls to either me or Joe Williams, who debated him last time on this issue. So, what do you think about all this? You think, what about the brouhaha down at the Pacific Trading Company? Are we spitting in the wind? Are we alienating more people than we are encouraging to join us? Is a boycott an appropriate response to a city council action supported by merchants downtown? But it's not undertaken by them in that sense. I mean, they're not the the governing body that passed these laws. Should we be instead in front of the city council building? Well, my answer to that, of course, is that there was a demonstration in front of the city council building for 8.5 months. Dan Hopkins and the late Sean Alini, as well as many other people, including Jim Costner, myself, Becky Johnson, Jim O'Reilly, Mad Mike the Wonder Dog, a whole bunch of folks were there for throughout 96, round the clock, at the City Hall. And Mayor Mike Rodkin, Riot Act Rodkin, as we called him, because he got an injunction against part of our protest. He wanted to actually close down City Hall at night. That's the kind of person we have sitting on our City Council, because he didn't want to have people exercising the right of free speech and assembly in that area then. With Scott Kennedy, took down signs. These folks abandon their commitment to civil rights very quickly once they're in power. Actually, we should say they have abandoned it. Kennedy called for exclusion of either Joe Williams or Steve Argue on Tuesday night from City Council. I'm going to be trying to find and play that tape among my many fumbly as I fumble to find tapes here, the proper tape to put in the machine. That's something I promised last show, and I promised a lot of stuff to be heard kind of covering this Pacific Trading Company controversy and the City Council's response. The mayor has taken an unusual response of coming down from Oral Communications to talk about it, which we'll be discussing in a bit. Before that, however, let's take a musical breather. Thank you.
along that.
No hacky sack.
No long hair. Why can't you blow bubbles?
That's not against the law.
Yeah, I can't. You're not allowed to have like hair down past your knees or something like that.
No, you're allowed to have long hair. This is not against the law. But a lot of these other things are.
That one was.
This is somebody
funny.
Else's T-shirt I'm wearing.
I just don't get why all these adults have to be all
kissy face.
Why indeed? Because they're.